Hey, what's up, guys? It's Michael from the Honest Youth Pastor, and I've been thinking about something a lot lately, trying to figure out how to put it into a meme, and today I finally settled on a meme template. It was sort of simple, really, after I got to it. It was Stanley from The Office, from the scene that says, "Did I stutter?" The thing that was popping around my head for a while was this idea of us praying for our enemies. So you're probably very familiar with it. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. And I'm just going to read it to you real quick so you can hear the words of Jesus, so you can kind of feel the weight of it. Because I think oftentimes, I mean, just so much, we read the words in the Bible and we miss so much of the weight of what it means. So contextually here, just to set it up, Jesus is talking to Jewish people under Roman rule. And if you've ever seen a Bible Times movie, depending on how good it is, they sometimes show like just how oppressive the Roman government was to the Jews at this time. Like, yeah, they had freedom, but they also didn't. So they could take anything they wanted from them. They could demand anything they wanted from them. I mean, they were quote unquote free, but not really. Like, you lived in fear. And it was just a matter of, it was always like, they could take anything they wanted whenever they wanted. And these are the circumstances that Jesus speaks these words into. Okay. So verse 43, starting chapter 5, verse 43 of Matthew, it says this: "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." These are pretty heavy words. I mean, again, just into the context that Jesus is speaking these things, like, it's like, hold on, Jesus, like, you didn't mean the people that like take things from me and that malign me and talk bad about me and like literally want me dead. You're not saying that I need to pray for those people, do you? Because I'm all for loving my neighbor and hating my enemy. Like you started off good. You had me in the first half and then you lost me. Because we're all about verse 43. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Because we can do that. It's easy for us. But Jesus like raises that bar and says, you actually have to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. And then he gives them this kind of just easy example, but for them to understand, they said, so if you just love those that love you, like, what difference is that? He gives tax collectors, people that in their culture would have been seen as traitors, right? He says, even they do that. And they're like traitors to, you know, you, they've sold you out to the government. So they do that. And he says, and if you greet only your brother, what more have you done than others? Like, even the Gentiles do the same. Now, that's sort of a slight to them because they thought themselves better than the Gentiles. So Jesus is saying, well, even the people that you think are lower than you, they greet only their brother. Like, is that really the standard that you hold yourself to? And then he ends with this enormous line, like this soul-crushing line of in verse 48, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Woo! Like, that hits, right? That hits really hard. I mean, this is some radical stuff here. Jesus is literally saying, like, those that persecute you or you view as your enemies, like those people that you want to naturally not like you want to talk bad about, like you would do anything to get rid of, you love those people. If you're a follower, you love those people. So in the description of the meme, I put, like, if you don't like Trump and you're a follower of Jesus, like, you're called to love and pray for him. Or if you love Trump, you probably don't like Nancy Pelosi that much. And if you don't like Nancy Pelosi, like, you hate her, you dislike her, Jesus actually calls you to love and pray for her. Now, I know, depending on what side of the political spectrum you are on, you just shuddered a little bit because you're like, okay, I'll pray for him. But he's not saying that you pray that they see it your way or they come to your side of thinking. Like, you genuinely pray for good for them. Like, these people that you don't like, that you hate every word that comes out of their mouth, Jesus says, you pray for them and you love them. This can't be fake. Like, this is like crazy radical love. This is a change that you cannot fake it. The only way that you can genuinely even begin to do this is to understand how the Father loves you. Like, the only way we can even begin to get it is when we actually see perspective-wise that God loves me. Despite of my rebellion, despite of my life being like this one big rebellious moment after rebellious moment after rebellious moment with my fist clenched to the sky saying, I don't need you. Like, he loves us. Even in those moments, even in our rebellion toward him before we knew him, even in all the sin we did, he genuinely loves us. And only when we begin to see it that way, and our hearts are changed by the in working of the Holy Spirit, can we actually begin to love those that we disagree with and potentially hate. You're not going to be able to do it any other way. Now, I did try to put this in the description a little bit to clear things up. Now, this doesn't mean you don't like call out injustice or unbiblical behavior. Like, that's not what it says. It's not that you don't do those things. In fact, I think we're called to do those things for those that we love, to those that we pray for, that we're supposed to, you know, say, hey, this isn't right. And we pursue justice in love. After we spent some genuine time actually praying for them, praying that God would change their hearts and change our hearts to become more like him. And then we pursue justice, calling out unbiblical behavior, pointing people to Jesus. And we are able to do that clearer and in a more Jesus-like way when we've actually prayed for those that we disagree with, dislike, or are our enemies. Because when we see them like Jesus sees us, we don't want to put them on the stake and burn them. We don't want to like send them and, you know, cancel them. We don't want to do those things. We want their good. We want them to know and love Jesus, and we want to be changed by that same love. So the way that we address people will show whether we've actually prayed for them. It'll show if we actually love them like Jesus loves us, by the way we talk about them, the way we interact with them. Again, this doesn't mean we don't call things out. It just means that we do it differently than the world does, because our process is much different. It is not for their demise, but for their good. We're not going after people in vengeance. We're going after them in love. So here's my question. When's the last time you genuinely spent any amount of time praying for your enemies? When? And if it's never, or it's been a while, I would encourage you just to meditate on that for a minute and get our perspectives corrected. I'll talk to you guys later.